Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We, of course, have been following the Zimbabwean situation, and for many years we have predicted and we've watched with absolute horror the situation unfolding in Zimbabwe, the South African government almost bringing it to a crisis here in South Africa with regard to the treatment of Zimbabwean citizens. How is Zimbabwe's economy affecting the neighboring countries such as South Africa, Botswana, Lesotho? Dr. Jackie Siliers is Africa analyst and founder of the Institute for Security Studies. Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, Howard. Thanks for inviting me.
So this is something, it's been like watching the slowest train crash in the world.
Yes. Yes, no. The situation in Zimbabwe has been deteriorating for decades. And as you say, it's the results are fairly predictable. Unless there is really a change in the way in which ZANU-PF approaches the Zimbabwean economy. And unfortunately, South Africa is very much a victim of what's happening to the north. And the problem is that whereas, you know, a few years ago, the migrants we were getting from Zimbabwe were often quite well educated. Mm. All the good educated people have left. And increasingly, particularly the illegal migrants that are coming to South Africa from Zimbabwe are no longer that sort of cream of the crop that we got a few years ago.
So obviously we've got this problem with people coming into South Africa largely undocumented, different, as with any group of people, there are some people who come with positive goals, some with negative, but either way, we've got this major problem. The ZANU-PF, of course, largely responsible. But what are the countries around them meant to do? South Africa, we know for years, followed this, what do they call it, silent diplomacy or whatever that would be. It certainly didn't serve the people of Zimbabwe very well. Is the reaction now something that is reasonable given their role in the situation? Or does this very simply largely sit with Zimbabwe as their problem?
You know, in Southern Africa, there is a strong sense of solidarity between the former liberation parties, for example, between the ANC and ZANU-PF, as well as with SWAPO, MPLA, FRIMO. And they protect one another. So the last thing that the ANC is prepared to do is to engage with Mnangagwa and tell him, listen, you must stop mismanaging your country and oppressing your people. And this silent diplomacy has been a hallmark of South Africa's engagement in the region, but particularly in Zimbabwe, for many, many years. So I'm afraid we, until there is really a turnaround, which only the people in Zimbabwe really can achieve, we are going to carry on watching what is, as you describe it, really a train wreck in slow motion. And in the meanwhile, South Africa, xenophobia in South Africa is rising because South Africa has a very large component of migrants from neighboring countries. And they come to South Africa because, despite our own problems, incomes and opportunities and infrastructure and social services in South Africa are considerably higher than in most countries, with the exception of Botswana and maybe Namibia. And that leads to a rising tide of xenophobia foreigners are sometimes competing and out-competing South Africans, even at the low end of informal markets. And this does present South Africa with many, many problems going forward. But I must say, I don't see there is a limit to what outsiders can do in Zimbabwe in any case. But I don't see the South African government really taking any specific action to try and advise or assist Zimbabwe that would make any difference.
I read a figure that I think there's around about 61% of Zimbabweans suffer from food insecurity. You really can't blame people with that level of food insecurity from saying, well, yeah, I don't care about a visa, I don't care about a passport. What I really care about is survival.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Zimbabwe is one of the highest number of undernourished people in the world. It's a terrible situation. And it is, of course, politically induced because while that is happening, ZANU-PF, the top leadership of ZANU-PF and the military are sitting pretty. and they are really abusing the country. And if you look at average levels of income in Zimbabwe today, they're more or less where they were at the time that Ian Smith declared unilateral independence. What was it, in 1965, I think it was. And this is a really condemnation of what has happened in that country.
It's very, very frightening. How is this likely to play out?
Well, as I said, I think there's only one way to look at this, and that is that Zimbabweans themselves need to change their rather miserable conditions, and that can only happen politically. And I'm afraid that that is going to happen at some point. At some point, people just say, as they are saying in Eswatini, for example, enough is enough.
Right.
That turnaround, the longer you wait, unfortunately, is probably quite likely to be violent. Yeah. So the prognosis under current conditions is not good.
Not good at all. Dr. Jackie Isilius, Africa analyst and founder of the Institute for Security Studies, the ISS, talking to us about the Zimbabwean economy.